Welcome back to Strange Conversations. My name is Aaron, and this is the interview show that I started because I wanted an excuse to talk to people that I think are cool in the paranormal space. After 1 year, 45 episodes, and over 50 hours of recorded content, we took a step back from the show to decide what the future of Strange Conversations was going to look like. As such, this interview with Lindsay Brisbane of The Chilling Podcast was recorded about 3 months ago. A huge thank you to Lindsay for being so patient as I continuously rescheduled the air date of this interview while I tried to get myself organized and get my life together. I'm not going to claim that I've done that, but enough is enough. Without further ado, please enjoy this very strange conversation with Lindsay Brisbane of The Chilling. Someone I have been very, very excited to talk to for a very long time about something which I am very excited about. Lindsay Brisbane of The Chilling. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you for making time. So one thing I would like to get out of the way from the outset that I think is very important. The Chilling is a true story. This is something you actually experienced. And I ask that because the production value and the storytelling caliber of your show is so high and so on point. I'm concerned that people might listen to it and go, oh, well, this is, you know, the next Tannis or the next Rabbits or Limetown. But like, this is real stuff. This is something you actually lived through, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is. And when I was going to do this project, that was the one thing because it isn't just my story. It ends up being the story of my then boyfriend, now husband, and my friends and future tenants and people. And I just thought, well, if I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. And I need to tell it in a way that tells everybody's story, but also mixes in a lot of history and folklore, because I love that stuff. I know it's not for everybody, but I love urban legends and folklore and history. And I just thought, well, what's the best way I can do this? And I thought about approaching it like I was writing an audiobook, I guess, you know, or journalistically. I thought if I'm going to do this story, the only way I can think of how to do it is if I write it like a book and produce it in a audio book kind of format. And so I just thought if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it really well. And it's so funny because everybody loves the production and thinks it's so great. And when I was making it, because I did the whole thing myself, I thought it was horrible.
Wow.
Nobody would listen to it. I literally thought, I'm going to have my five friends listen and that's it. And that's fine. I'm telling the story. It's fine. And I would, you know, I would be in just agony listening and editing and going, oh, this sounds like shit. No one's going to like it.
What?
Yeah.
Have you listened to other podcasts? Like, I'm just,
I have, I really am I'm very hard on myself and I'm a perfectionist. So I kept drilling and pushing it to be better and better and better. And so I think that's why the production quality is, you know, so good, is because I was just like with a fine tooth comb, just trying to tell this story this way. And, you know, I just didn't think that it would be as good as it turned out. And I've been so blessed and fortunate. I think, I don't even know how many listens I'm up to. It was over 100,000. And that was like right after I released the last episode. And I was like, wow, you know, and to go from thinking maybe five friends will listen to that, I was like, wow. So yeah. So it is a true story. I just wanted to do it really well, not just for me, but for everybody who lived in that house and like survived stuff there. I just wanted to do justice by them. So I did the best job I possibly could. It took 3 years, but you know, worth it.
That was my next question for you. How much time went into production? Because as a podcaster, as a person that occasionally records things and clips them together, I'm listening to your show and I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. So 3 years, really?
Yeah. And a big part of that was because when I started it, I thought, this will take 6 months. And and what really took the longest, honestly, was research. and trying to track people down and compiling, you know, because it took me, you know, took me probably a couple months just to write 13 scripts for it all. And I couldn't do that till I got all my research done. So I had to do all this research and reaching out to people and, you know, interviewing all my roommates and then listening and like figuring out how do I compile this into a story? You know, like my second season's all just interview based, but this season I was taking these interviews and figuring out how do I arrange them in a story format to take people from, you know, the beginning of this to the end. So I thought it would be 6 months and it took me 3 years, but that's me doing it in my spare time because this isn't my full-time job or anything. Sure. So And when you didn't, I didn't realize just alone how much the research I had to do on this would take. But when I did it, I also was like, at the time I wasn't in a rush. I just said, I want to do the best job possible. And again, cause it's not just for me, it's for everybody, my roommates and friends. And so I was like, if I'm going to do it, I got to do it right. So I could have cut a lot of corners. And there were quite a few times where I was tempted to do so, but I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay true to this course and this path, and I am going to make the best quality that I can and tell the story the best, the only way I know how. And so that's what I did. But yeah, it took a while.
Amazing. Yeah. No, I'm happy to cut this if you would like me to, but like, are you okay? Is Adam okay? Are you guys doing all right? Like, you wrestled with some heavy shit during the course of this thing. So
yeah, the craziest thing too was, and I talked about it in what I call the epilogue, which is kind of the introduction for season two, because
episode 13,
14. So I did like a 14, it's called epilogue, but,
okay. Yeah.
Making this podcast, you know, my demonologist, Michael Salerno, had warned me that stuff would happen if I chose to do this. And he was like one of the first interviews I did for the show. So, and he said, like, once you start talking about them meaning demons, they don't like it. They're like the mob. They like to operate in secrecy. So when you start talking about them and bringing these things into the light, they're going to communicate amongst themselves and say, remember that chick who lived in that house? Well, you know, target is back on. And making the podcast, we ended up having so much paranormal activity that has not stopped. It's been insane. Like, a lot of really scary things have happened just making it. So we're fine. We're good. We made it out of the house. You know, we've been married for over 17 years. But
congratulations. That's wonderful.
Yes. Thank you. But making the podcast, I did not expect us to have to deal with paranormal activity all over again. And it's just become kind of normal now. So it is what it is. Yeah.
Wow. And that kind of segues into my next question, or one of the questions I had written down for you is, like, did you deal with opposition during the production of this thing? Because, you know, Mr. Salerno talks about, yeah, these things don't like to be noticed, they don't like to be seen, they like to lurk in the background. And that's one of the things that you did with this podcast that I really admire, is you pulled this stuff into the forefront and said, oh no, look at this. I don't give a shit if this thing likes it or not. And again, like, if you don't want to talk about this, if you want to skip to the next question, totally cool.
Oh, it's fine. Yes. For me with that, you know, when I lived in the house and went through this haunting, the best way I can say it is that I was so mentally and emotionally weak. I come out of that abusive relationship, and some people are like, oh, I don't see the point or the relevance of that to the story. Well, it's hugely important, because I went from one horrible thing and was already kind of beaten down and went into this house where whatever was there really took advantage of that. And Michael full on explained that to me. He's like, oh, that's classic. Like, they love that. You know, you've already been wounded. This is great. And then my roommate ends up going through a horrible situation that's very similar. And whatever was in the house was playing into knowing all this about my history and all these things. And Michael warned me, you know, that doing this stuff could happen, and the target would be back. And I was afraid when I lived in the house, but now I'm not scared anymore. And despite all the weird things we've had happen that are very scary, by the way, some of them, I've been electrocuted several times. you know, fires in the night, like weird things. My husband recently saw what he thought was, I guess, me peeking around a door at him and then like coming into the doorway and just watching him. And then like slowly kind of like slunk away. And then like, he was like, what are you doing? And I was in the other room and I'm like, what? And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. He's like, why are you like spying on me or something? I saw you. And I was like, it's not me, man. And, you know, I've seen shadow figures and things and all this stuff. And what I have to say to the darker things is, I don't care. Like, you know, I know what you did to me. I know what you did to my roommates. I know that you basically wanted me to kill myself in that house. I know that you're dark and you're dangerous. And for people who don't believe, I always say, I'm glad, because that means nothing bad has ever happened to you. You've never seen a ghost. You've never experienced anything. That means you might go your whole life never having to experience what I experienced. And I never want anyone to have to. But if you are going through something like this, if you have experienced something like this, if you're thinking that you might have a negative attachment, a ghost, a demon, whatever the heck it may be, my story is there to try to help you, to try to show you that you can get through this. You aren't crazy. These things do happen to people when they least expect it. And even people like my roommate Amber, who never believed in any of this shit, it changed her life forever. Now she believes in everything. She's like, all bets are off. Everything's possible. So yeah. So to whatever is there, I'm no longer scared of you. I know that you've sent your messengers to try to freak me out, and it does startle me, but I'm no longer scared like I was when I lived there, for sure.
That's awesome. That's super awesome. My favorite interviews are the ones where the person I'm talking to basically reads my mind. And that's what you've done. You answered like the next three questions I had for you. What advice would you offer to someone who might be dealing with someone's or something similar? You know, you totally answered that.
And I can go into some more of that. You know, if you're going through something that you think it's a haunt, you might not know what it is, but you know that something is happening in your environment. And I think that there's varying levels of this. Mm-hmm. I often tell people, even with ghosts and entities, I used to be scared of ghosts. They used to frighten me. Now I just realize they startle me. This doesn't mean that they're bad or they're evil. I know what evil is now, so I know the difference. But if you've never had experiences with a ghost, it's going to scare you, because if you can imagine it in their world and trying to communicate with us, they don't have a body. They don't have ways to get our attention. So shutting a door or knocking something off a shelf, A, that probably took them a lot of energy. And B, they're probably just trying to get your attention and might need your help, or they might be frustrated. You know, Lloyd Auerbach even said, if someone's a jerk in life, they're a jerk in death. So the ghost may not be evil. They just might be really freaking grumpy.
It just might be an asshole.
Exactly. Exactly. So sometimes what seems evil, I can tell you, isn't necessarily evil. And if you're not sure, don't screw with stuff that you don't know what you're doing. Don't bust out an Ouija board. Don't break out tarot cards. Like, you know, don't call your friend who's a medium. Like, if you really think something's up, if you really find somebody reputable, like reach out to Michael Salerno. He is always open for people to contact him. Find other people in the industry, in the world, that are serious, that they know what they're doing. You've heard of friends that have had good experiences with them. You know, Joe Perret is a psychic I had on the show. He is really great. You know, like, find resources and kind of talk to them before you start jumping to conclusions. And, you know that you're not crazy. If you think you're crazy, go see a mental health professional. And if they clear you of all mental weird stuff, and they say you're not depressed, you're not having psychosis, you're not hallucinating, okay, you've got something happening in your house. Talk to the next steps. And if you realize that it isn't a ghost and it's something much darker and much worse, be prepared for a serious long haul and a battle. And, you know, again, find those good resources and ask for help. Do not wait, because darker things want you to hurt yourself. They want you to destroy your life. They want you to fall apart. They want you to kill yourself. They want you to hurt other people. So if you think it's real bad and you're like, okay, I think this might be, you know, the D word, get help. But again, my biggest thing is if you think something's happening, big or small, make sure, clear your mind, find out it's not you first, and then try to see what it is. And if it's a ghost and you've never experienced that, okay, it doesn't mean it's evil. Let's find someone to help us communicate with what the spirit needs, because they might be confused why you're in their house. You know, they might need a favor. You might have dug up something in the backyard and didn't realize it was theirs, or they might be buried in your backyard. I've heard of that a zillion times, and somebody doesn't realize there's a body in the yard. Or, you know, they might just be really lonely, or they might not want to move on. And maybe you guys come to some sort of arrangement where you say, hey, you can stay here, but don't scare me. Like, you know, or between these hours, don't make a lot of noise, you know, whatever it takes. And if it is something darker, again, go to a specialist and don't just go to some random person. Find someone that knows what they're doing. Because if you go down the wrong course with the wrong person, it can make it worse, like much worse.
Again, you've read my mind, and you've gone into several questions that I was going to ask you anyway. So I'll try to keep my list in check. What is a ghost? Like, what, in your opinion, as someone who has dealt with this stuff, what is a ghost? What are these things?
Yeah. Okay. So a ghost to me is the soul of a human being that has died. And typically, sometimes I think they know that they are dead and they just don't want to move on. They might not have somebody waiting for them on the other side. I've heard stories of a ghost saying, I wasn't a good person, and they're kind of afraid of what's next. You know, some of them might be attached. I've heard of stories of a ghost waiting for their significant other to die and didn't realize they did. So in general, it's the spirit or the energy of a person that has passed on. It's my understanding, if you think about it, ghosts don't have arms, legs, they don't have a mouth, they have nothing, they're energy. So when you think about how a ghost is communicating with you, if you hear them or you see them or you feel them, essentially, much like a radio works, like with radio waves sending frequencies to your radio, essentially they're believed by parapsychologists to send electrical waves into your brain and say, see me, and projects into your mind what they look like or where they are, or when you get a sensation or a feeling, they're doing the same thing, or if you hear them. So whether you see, sense, feel, touch, whatever they may be, know that they're doing it, technically, they believe, basically like a radio wave into your mind. So again, that takes a lot of effort for them. So whether they're trying to speak to you or get your attention, don't freak out, pay attention, because it might be less scary than you think. And sometimes with that, with ghosts, you might have a door that opens and shuts a lot, or weird things like that. If it's not at 3 a.m., you know, that's always the golden rule. If it's not at 3 a.m., sometimes it's just residual. And that would be the stone tape theory, where essentially a person puts so much energy into doing something so many different times that it recorded into history that event, whether it could be the person walked through the kitchen a bunch of times every day and randomly a person just sees, like, oh my gosh, that person's walking through the kitchen again. That might not even actually be a ghost. It's just like watching a movie scene and it's just getting rewound and replayed, you know? So a ghost, I think it's just energy of somebody for some reason who, whether they choose to stay or don't know why they're here, they just haven't moved on.
So here's something I've been excited to ask you, entirely different from the last question. Okay. Your story has been covered by the quote unquote mainstream media of the paranormal world. And I'm curious if you can, because I understand that there are like contracts and documents and stuff sometimes involved in these things. Is there anything about that you would like to share with the rest of the community or anyone who has had a paranormal experience who may be thinking about taking that step into talking to the mainstream media? And I did, like, just full disclosure, I looked up the episode of the show that covered the story. And it was fine. Like, you guys were awesome as witnesses. But like, after listening to the chilling and then going back and finding this, video program that covered the same story, you know, watching the video program was like watching the movie adaptation of one of my favorite books. So mm-hmm. just yeah. to be clear.
And that's a great point. So, and that was another thing. When I wanted to make this podcast, which was interesting, is that we had been on that show, and you know, the after of it all, like I remember doing the interview, and first off, like I remember the video camera operator guys and the sound guys, and like we all ate lunch together, and the one video guy is like, we have done a lot of these, and your story is the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life. He's like, if what you're telling me is true, I am so scared. And he's like, and I'm getting the sense it is true because I'm interviewing so many of you for this. And he's like, I'm so scared by your story. This is crazy. I'm like, I know, isn't it really scary? And then you see the after version, and they're trying to squeeze all these events into, like, with commercials, like, I don't know, 50 minutes. There's no way to do that. So they take things out of order and put things together and make it kind of cheesy and hokey. And I remember seeing the show and thinking, they did an okay job. But I always, like, people would tell me, you need to turn your story into a book or a movie script, because it's so much happened. There's no way to do that. So that's why I started the podcast, because I knew to tell the story properly, I needed to do it in a long format, you know, version. And if I made a movie script right out the gate, somebody would chop that up just like they did with the TV show. And if I wrote a book, it may never get published. So what was, you know, so this was the easiest option. So my advice to anybody who's like, oh, I'm thinking about going on a TV show or whatever to tell my spooky story, I would say that if you really want your story told honestly and truthfully, find podcasters who have interview-based storytelling, like, formats, because, you know, like my second season, it's kind of a lot, it's lighthearted, but there's a lot of spooky stuff mixed in, but some of the stories are really scary and some of them are actually pretty funny. But the point being, I let people tell their stories and we just have a conversation. And there's other shows where they'll make it a little more dramatic. And what I would say is my advice would be skip a TV show, find a really good podcast and try to tell your story there. Cause typically us podcasters, we want your story. So we're not going to be like tearing it apart and tweaking it to like make it all fit into something. So that would be my advice. It's a little bit disappointing in the end to be like, well, that's not actually what happened, but okay. You know, friends and family, they're all excited. Like, oh, you're on TV.
You're on TV. Yeah. And like, you know, they did a pretty good job, you know, like the actors they got to represent you guys, I thought were decent. But the whole time, you know, because we've all been through that, right? You read a book and you love it so much, and then you watch the film adaptation and you're like, okay, I guess I get it. Like,
oh, totally. I always have a joke where I have a thing where if I know like a movie version of a, like they're going to make a book into a movie and I haven't read the book yet, I'll always see the movie first because the book is always better. Right. Yeah. So, why waste my time? And then that way I'll enjoy the movie and be like, great movie. And then I'll read the book and be like, what a great book. The movie was okay. But I'm less judgmental of the film. I did it the opposite way. And I started doing that as a kid, but that's what I would tell people. And that was the thing. I remember when it came out, I thought they did a great job for a show, but this isn't the story. Like, it's only parts of it. And like so much more happened.
There was so much out. I was like, wait, what about this? What about what?
And there were so many things they flat out said. They're like, we can't tell that on TV. They actually told me, they were like, that's too scary. They were like, that is so scary that we cannot put that on sci-fi or whatever station.
Wow.
And I was like, really? They're like, I'm like, you guys play horror movies on your
show. Isn't that what you want? Like,
and they were like, yeah, but that's different than a true story. Like, this is that's too scary. We're not going to tell that. We already like went through it with like the upper people. And I was like, wow, okay. Cause I mean, you know, you go in with the whole story and I thought, oh. And you hear it's too, and that's when I was like, I need to do something with our story, because if it's too scary for this TV show, I'm like, wow, okay. Like, I need to tell it then, you know?
Your show legit, like, and again, this is just person to person. Your show legit scared the shit out of me. And I listened to a lot of podcasts, like, your show scared the shit out of me. I think I was coming off of Malevolent, like, or some other fictional show. And like, I ran across yours and I was like, oh, this is awesome. Just amazing. Amazing. That's not for the interview. I feel that you should know that. Like,
well, and I heard the feedback and, you know, and I tried to pace it too, because some people were like, well, skip all the fluff. I don't want the history. I don't want the folklore. Just give me all the scary bits in the story. But I had to like pace it kind of like a book, because what I realized is if I just did all the scary stuff, it would just be so much, so intense, mm-hmm. like nonstop. And I knew that there were a lot of people that would probably want to listen to this, who maybe that would be too scary for them. Yeah. And I thought, you know what, if I pace it in a way that I spice in and pepper in the really bad parts with other things, it makes it more approachable for anybody who wants to listen to it. And I've had a few people, this is crazy, by the way, I've had several people I know, actually, few of them said that they were listening to the show, and when it got to like the couple of the really bad first scary parts, they've had paranormal activity happen in their home and they've had to stop listening. Things, objects moving. And I've heard this more than once. I've had people write me and say, I'm having really horrific nightmares and night terrors. I'm like, I'm so sorry. But that's why, again, whether you're having paranormal activity while listening to the podcast or you're having really bad nightmares, that's why I kind of tried to space it out like a book. Because if it was just all the fear, I think for some people, they couldn't have gotten through it. And I think if you're like somebody who loves paranormal stuff, you know, you probably appreciate some of the fun facts that people have written me and said, I didn't know that about the history of cats or the number 13. Like, that was amazing. Oh, they were like, that was so cool. And I love shit like that. So I'm like, well, if you don't like it, that's fine, but I'm putting it in. So.
No, your research is on point. Like, as a researcher, as a writer, like every episode, I'm like, holy shit. You know, not only did you look into this, you took it to the next level, like in every episode. Also, I have 6 cats. I have way too many fucking cats. So when you got into that, I was like, oh my God, thank you. But
And I found that so fascinating. And I love cats, but there were aspects of their history. Like, I didn't know that they were literally massacring cats along with witches. And theoretically, they think that's what caused the bubonic plague, because there were no cats left to kill rats. Right. And the rats went wild. So they were killing cats and witches thinking they were causing issues. And then they caused the plague and killed themselves. Like, whoa. But anyways, so I find wild. All that stuff so interesting. And so I was just like, and I think it's important in part of good storytelling to always include that kind of stuff where you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I had another question I was going to ask you, and it wasn't centric to the interview. It was just something I was excited to ask you, and now I can't remember what it was. you've teased a little bit about season 2. It sounds like it's going to be more other people's stories and what they've experienced. So is there anything else you'd like to share to get people excited for season 2? I'm very excited. Like, I'm here.
Yeah, thank you. So season 2 is all going to be interview based. It's going to be a mix. So it's, you know, when you're the person who has the scariest story anyone's ever heard, anyone who gets to know you is like, leans in and is like, hey, I've got a story. Can I tell it to you? So I realized, I was like, wow, I should share everybody's stories over the course of my life. I mean, my own mother is going to be on there.
Awesome.
And she's got some of the craziest stories. And so it's a collection of friends and family, listeners, professionals and like big names from the paranormal world, artists, all kinds of people from all walks of life. And so it's just everybody sharing their stories and kind of seeing where the conversation takes us. And my hope, you know, someday is if this continues to do well, I would love to do another season like season 1. And it would just be a matter of finding the right story, the right true story, and one I can investigate and really deep dive that's going on, or, you know, more recent. And that just takes a really long time. So season 2 is just a collection of everybody's tales and interviews. And, you know, again, like I said, some of them are top, you know, famous podcasters and stuff, and just hearing how did they get into it. And yeah, so some are really scary, some are kind of funny. I will be kicking off, I'm excited, the first episode with basically my baby sister, and she hates the paranormal, hates it, and yet we have two of the craziest stories besides this house that I experienced ever. We're both with her. So it's hilarious to have somebody who doesn't like this stuff, who, and she has abilities too. She hates it. She has abilities, doesn't like the paranormal, doesn't like anything spooky. And yet we have had the craziest things happen. So it'll be, I think, a fun kind of way to go about that until someday I can hopefully do another season, like season one, which would be my goal.
Awesome. This is not for the article. This is just something I've been excited to talk to you about. My first and only paranormal experiences were with very unfriendly spiritual entities. So your story resonated with me personally, professionally, as a writer, as a researcher. Like, I love what you're doing. Thank you. It's important. So.
And that's what I thought about too, is that it was interesting is as I was interviewing with people like Michael Salerno, also the psychologist I spoke with, Judy, they all said the same thing. They said, this is really important what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Like, yeah. They were all like, this is important. And I thought, I think it is, but I don't know. And, you it know, is. Tom, who was one of the people you hear about, who lived in the house as a kid, you know, it ruined his life. You know, I spoke with him. He was put on medication. They thought he was schizophrenic as a child because nobody believed him about what was happening in the house. Mm-hmm. And it ruined his life to some extent. So I just felt like it is important to tell this story and do a good job, especially for someone like him who went through what I went through as like a young adolescent and literally was put on meds because they were like, you're obviously crazy. And what are you talking about?
No. Yeah. These things don't, whatever they are, they don't like us. And it takes people like you doing the good work to like get the rest of us to the point where we realize, oh, wait, I'm not fucking crazy. Like, there really are things happening that we can't quantify. So personally, I wanted to thank you. Where can the people follow you? What can we keep an eye on? You know, where should we put our eyes for your future projects?
So I'll always be posting. I post a lot on the Chilling's Instagram page. So, you know, it's the Chilling podcast, the Chilling Podcast on Instagram. And I post a lot of fun content there as well. But whenever I have episodes come out, I always do a little like kind of announcement for each episode. So as these season two episodes come together, I'm kind of figuring out how to stagger them in between funny, cool, scary. So I'm trying to, you know, stagger them out a little bit and figure out the order, but they'll be announced there. And I'll always be posting stuff on my website as well. So that's the www.thechillingpodcast.com. Yeah. So those two places is where you can find me, and you can listen just about everywhere. Spotify, Apple, and I think like now I'm everywhere. So yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to Strange Conversations. Be sure to follow Lindsay at The Chilling Podcast on Instagram for updates on season two and to keep an eye on all the cool stuff that she's working on. Coming up, we've got an archival interview with Jeff Foran of Strangeology, and shortly after that, an in-depth conversation with Jordan Heath of Campfire, Tales of the Strange and Unsettling, and Heather Mosier of Small Town Monsters on the ethics of creation in the paranormal space. You won't want to miss it. Strange Conversations is presented by Hey Strangeness.